All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton, standing in the confessional corner this week as we turn to the Large Catechism and what it says about baptism. We'll be starting on page 423 in the Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions Reader's Edition from CPH. We have now finished the first three chief parts of common Christian doctrine. Besides these, we have yet to speak of our two sacraments instituted by Christ. Every Christian also ought to have at least an ordinary brief instruction about the sacraments, because without them he cannot be a Christian. Unfortunately, up to now, no instruction about them has been given. But in the first place, we take up baptism, by which we are first received into the Christian church, John 3:5. However, in order that baptism may be easily understood, we will present it in an orderly manner. We present only what is necessary for us to know. We will leave to the learned the topic of how baptism is to be maintained and defended against heretics and sects. So we have baptism here, the first of the two sacraments. And up to now, Luther says that there has been very little talk about either baptism or the Lord's Supper. It is just, these are things that you do. But he also says, we talked about the three chief articles of common Christian doctrine. Now we get into the doctrines where even in the Reformation, we had serious issues between them. And this is still, even in the Large Catechism, going to be just a cursory, ordinary look at baptism and the Lord's Supper, leaving it up to the learned to pick up Luther's books about baptism, the sacraments, the Lord's Supper, these things, as he goes deeper into them to defend them against the heretics and the other sectarian groups that have formed with the Reformation. So we pick up in paragraph 3 with the simple understanding of the text of baptism. In the first place, we must above all things know well the words on which baptism is founded. Everything refers to these words that must be said on the subject. The Lord Christ says in Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Likewise in St. Mark 16:16, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." These are the two main passages that we talk about as the foundation of the sacrament of baptism. These are the two key verses that you need to know if you want to understand baptism. Everything else builds on these. So he continues on in paragraph 6. "In the first place, you must note in these words that here stand God's commandment and institution. Let us not doubt that baptism is divine. It is not made up or invented by people. For as surely as I can say, no one has spun the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer out of his head. They are revealed and given by God himself. So also I can boast that baptism is no human plaything, but is instituted by God himself. Furthermore, baptism is most solemnly and strictly commanded, so that we must be baptized or we cannot be saved. I note this lest anyone regard baptism as a silly matter, putting on a new red coat. For it is of the greatest importance that we value baptism as excellent, glorious, and exalted. We contend and fight for baptism chiefly because the world is now so full of sects arguing that baptism is an outward thing and that outward things are of no benefit. But let baptism be a thoroughly outward thing. Here stand God's word and command, which institute, establish, and confirm baptism. What God institutes and commands cannot be an empty thing. It must be a precious thing, even though it looks like it had less value than a straw. Up to now, people can consider something great when the Pope, with his letters and bulls, gave away indulgences and confirmed altars and churches solely because of the letters and seals. So we ought to value baptism much more highly and more precious because God has commanded it. Besides, it is done in his name. For these are the words, go, baptize. However, do not baptize in your name, but in God's name." Okay, we look at this and see the commandment and institution of God seeking baptism to be done. So we can say that baptism is no human plaything. It is instituted by God himself. It should be most solemnly and strictly adhered to, because as Mark 16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And Luther goes on to say, we must be baptized or we cannot be saved. And that is in this life. That is in the normal, ordinary way of doing things. If you spurn the gift of baptism, you are spurning the gift of God. You are spurning salvation. Not to say that you can bring up other people that maybe have not been baptized, or especially you have infants who die before they get to their baptism. You have all these exceptions and what ifs and what nots. But for the everyday Christian, spurning the gifts of God, whether it's baptism, the Lord's Supper, absolution, any of these things, is a very detrimental thing to your salvation, because it is truly spurning your salvation. So when Luther says we must be baptized or we cannot be saved, it is that we should not spurn what God has instituted. Because as he goes on later in that paragraph, what God institutes and commands cannot be an empty thing. Although we have the Anabaptist in Luther's time and many of the non-denominational churches in our time talking about baptism being the Christian's work to show our love for God, and so therefore it is an empty thing, it does nothing for your salvation, Luther says, read your Bible again, because as we get into like 1 Peter 3, it talks about baptism now saves you. We have this linking of salvation to baptism throughout the New Testament scriptures. We need to solemnly focus on this very point, is that baptism is necessary. And then he goes on to talk about baptism being in God's name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks to the Corinthians about the factions that have formed in that congregation. And he says, were you baptized into Paul? Was Paul crucified for you? No, all of this is done in the name of Jesus Christ. And at least the shorthand for the Trinity. But definitely all of these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is what makes baptism so important. That's what makes baptism valid, as we'll see in the coming weeks. We pick up in paragraph 10. To be baptized in God's name is to be baptized not by men, but by God himself. Therefore, although it is performed by human hands, it is still truly God's own work. From this fact, everyone may be readily conclude that baptism is a far higher work than any work performed by a man or a saint. For what work can we do that is greater than God's work? But here the devil is busy to fool us with false appearances and lead us away from God's work to our own works. For there is a much more splendid show when a Carthusian does many great and difficult works. We all think much more of the things that we do and merit ourselves. But the scriptures teach this. Even though we collect in one pile the works of all the monks, however splendidly they may shine, they would not be as noble and good as if God should pick up a single straw. Why? Because the person is nobler and better. Here, then, we must not judge the person according to the works, but the works according to the person, Matthew 7:16-20, from whom they must get their nobility. But our insane reason will not consider this, because baptism does not shine like the works that we do. It is valued as nothing. And this is truly the greatest objection to baptism and salvation, is that the devil has lodged it in our minds and in our insane reason, as Luther calls it, that it's just handfuls of water. It's nothing. Look at all the other things that we do. Look at all the wonderful, great works that we can do. And Luther says, do not look at the works, but look at the one doing the works. It is not the works that make the person noble or ignoble, but it is the person who makes the works noble or ignoble. A sinner cannot do a good work. Only God can do a good work. And so when the Christian does good works, it is through the prompting of the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. That is the only way it is considered a good work. Otherwise, it is nothing more than straw and hay, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 3. But we like to look at what we do because we put the effort into it. we don't highly value the gift that is baptism because we don't do anything. For those who were baptized as infants, you didn't even walk up to the font. For those who were baptized at a later age, yes, you've gone through instruction to know what baptism means, what it means for your life. But again, that does not count towards making baptism good or bad. It is all the work of God. Luther picks up in paragraph 14. From this, we learn a proper understanding of the subject and how to answer the question of what baptism is. It is not mere ordinary water, but water comprehended in God's word and command and sanctified by them. Ephesians 5:26-27. So it is nothing other than a divine water. Not that the water in itself is nobler than other water, but that God's word and command are added to it. Baptism is not holy water. The water used in it is not somehow more blessed, even if the Pope himself may bless the water that is used. That does not make it any better than the tap water that comes out of your faucet. It is the word of God attached to that water that makes it a divine water. Nothing in the water itself. It is solely God's word. It is pure wickedness and blasphemy of the devil when our new spirits mock baptism, leaving God's word and institution out of it. They look at baptism in no other way than as water that is taken from the well. Then they blather and say, how does a handful of water help the soul? Yes, my friend, who does not know that water is water, if tearing things apart is what we are after? But how dare you interfere with God's order? How dare you tear away the most precious treasure with which God has connected and enclosed baptism, and that he will not allow to be separated? For the kernel in the water is God's word or command and God's name. His name is a treasure greater and nobler than heaven and earth. Understand the difference then. Baptism is quite a different thing from all other water. This is not because of its natural quality, but because something more noble is added to it. God himself stakes his honor, his power, and his might on it. Therefore, baptism is not only natural water, but a divine, heavenly, holy, and blessed water, and whatever other terms we can find to praise it. This is all because of the word, which is a heavenly, holy word, which no one can praise enough. For it has and is able to do all that God is and can do. Isaiah 55:10-11. In this way, it also gets its essence as a sacrament, as St. Augustine also taught. When the word is joined to the element or natural substance, it becomes a sacrament, that is, a holy and divine matter and sign. Here again, the pure wickedness and blasphemy of the devil, when we take God's word out of it and we have it be about us or about the water. No. Everything is about God's word, God's promise, God's name in that water in baptism. There is nothing else that can be said about it than that the water itself is just plain water. Until the word of God is applied to it, then it becomes a sacrament. Then it does what God purposes it to do. We're going to finish up this first section of baptism with paragraphs 19 to 22 out of the Large Catechism. We also teach that the sacraments and all outward things that God ordains and institutes should not be considered according to the coarse outward mask, the way we look at a nutshell, but we respect them because God's word is included in them. For we also speak of the parental estate and of civil government in this way. If we intend only to recognize that they have noses, eyes, skin, and hair, flesh and bones, they look like Turks and heathen. Someone might start up and say, why should I value them more than others? Because this commandment is added, honor your father and your mother, Exodus 20:12. I see a different person, adorned and clothed with God's majesty and glory. The commandment, I say, is the gold chain about his neck. Yes, that is the crown upon his head, which shows me how and why one must honor his flesh and blood. So, and even much more, you must honor baptism and consider it glorious because of the word. For God himself has honored it both by word and deeds. Furthermore, he confirmed it with miracles from heaven. Do you think it was a joke that when Christ was baptized, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended visibly and everything was divine glory and majesty? Luke 3:21-22. I encourage again that these two, the water and the word, by no means be separated from each other and parted. For if the word is separated from it, the water is the same as the water that the servant cooks with. It may indeed be called a bathkeeper's baptism. But when the word is added, as God has ordained, it is a sacrament. It is called Christ baptism. Let this be the first part about the Holy Sacrament's essence and dignity. Again, if there is not God's word attached to it, it is simply, as Luther calls it, a bathkeeper's baptism. The same water that the servant uses to cook. There is nothing special about it if the word is not attached to it. But when the word is attached to it, there are not enough words to praise the greatness of that water. Not because of the water, but because of the word attached to the water. Because it is that promise that you are adopted as a son or daughter of God the Father in holy baptism that makes the baptism special and holy and heavenly and divine. Not you, not the water, the promise of God and the word attached to it. That is the main thing in baptism. All right, that is it for this week. This is Pastor Doug Minton thanking you for being here, standing in the confessional corner with me as we look at baptism, the first in the catechisms of the things that we truly differ with other people on. And we must know these differences, even as Luther says in the Large Catechism, in a cursory, ordinary way, so that we may wrestle with the theology that they come with, saying that it's all about me or it's something in the water. And I hope this has helped you with the basic understanding of baptism so that you may wrestle with the theologies around you. Amen.